This one be our last one, but anyway, a slight announcement. This music is a music that we made in United States and name it Phoenix City.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City. I've got a full complement of podcasters here. Dave is here.
Hello, hello.
Cam is here.
Good evening.
And Frosty is here.
I am.
Just a normal podcast this week. No news, eh? Nothing to talk about?
Nah. What episode number is it, Pat? Normally you're good at knowing.
4,096.
It's 240-something. I think we're not going to quite hit the 250. Basically... This podcast is not a normal episode because it's going to be our final one for at least some time. You may have noticed recently that we've been doing fewer and fewer episodes. It's just been harder to get all of us together in a room to talk about the football. The ones that we did manage to schedule in were done online, which is not quite the same. Can't really share a beer, a cider, or an organic kombucha with no sugar like I'm drinking tonight. Thank you, Dave, for providing that.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it tastes like ass.
You specifically requested it.
I thought it would be a funny joke.
He requested something that tastes like ass.
Hey, I thought it would be a funny joke, and it was. So, Brocky the dog is here in the background. I don't know if Brocky's been heard on the podcast before, but
probably,
Brocky
has been, surely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She's certainly been heard on some podcasts, whether it was this one or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is about the fourth one I think we've done.
Probably, these. Sorry. Yeah. I forget. But yeah, with the Phoenix being overseas and the games that the Phoenix are playing being on a very sporadic schedule, as well as busy live. Exactly. It's just been harder and harder to literally watch the games for me. Second, to care about the games, and then third, to get in the room to talk about the games with you guys. So obviously I bowed out a little while back, but I've still been editing the podcast for you guys. But I think we've all just hit a point, especially with what's happening at the moment, that it's kind of just like time to call it quits. Similar things for you guys. The reason why not overly keen to keep going.
And realistically, you guys have been doing it longer than me, but we've been doing this podcast for quite a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's been longer running than In the Zone, which it feels surprising to me in many ways.
By a couple of years.
They did five seasons or was it four seasons?
They did 169 episodes.
Yeah. Nice.
Is what, 240 something. It's a hell of a lot longer, which is surprising because it in many ways doesn't feel that long, but I mean, my God, the last 6 months of it have felt like 10 years.
Has it only been 6 months?
The last year and a half even. From March 2020, almost 2 years until now, it's felt a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because they're just not here. We're not just having trouble with engaging ourselves, but everybody's having trouble engaging with the team.
And I think it's hard. It's been hard organizing records. It's been hard wanting to record with everything else that's going on in the world. But I think it's been hard to engage in the football as well. I think our passion, like many fans, for the club and the team is also waning a little bit because it is, as you say, it's so hard to engage with a team that's not here. And you throw all of that together and it's been tough trying to, find an hour a week to talk about some stuff that, none of us particularly feel like talking about, a game that we didn't particularly feel like watching. And, It's been tough. I think realistically, if it weren't for COVID, we wouldn't be in this position, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, right up until like March 2020, you guys were churning out weekly records no problem.
Yep.
And so, it's for me, it's very much that the team isn't here. I almost found it easier supporting the team from overseas even with the games being on at ridiculous times, because all you guys were still massively engaged.
Yeah.
And that was my way to stay connected to you guys, was to, I mean, I was still editing the podcast for you, but then we've obviously got the group chats with all the, with the Fever guys and group chats with you guys. And so that was my way to stay connected. And it was easier to follow the football like that. But just at the moment with them being over in Sydney and there being no hope of them returning anytime soon, who knows?
I think there's very little chance they'll be back this season.
Oh no, that's, oh, the season's gone. Yeah. And
it's the lack of regularity for me as well. It's just like, I don't know when the next game's coming, and then it will get sprung out of nowhere, and it's kind of like, you can't, there's no build up, there's no...
And it's at rubbish times as well, you know, 9 o'clock on a Sunday night or almost 9 o'clock midnight and stuff.
Tuesday or Wednesday, and you're kind of no, I've got to work.
That's it. And I've got two kids, and one of them doesn't sleep, and I'm not sitting up past 11 o'clock at night to watch a game of football. I might record it and watch it the next day if time allows, but it's just, it's very, very, it's not conducive to people in our positions, particularly like me and Frosty particularly, to do, to watch those games at those times. And you're not just watching them to support, you're watching them because you want to talk about it afterwards. So you actually have to pay attention to what's going on. So it's not just like, I'm going to look at them for 2 minutes and, you know, do something else and then watch, and when something exciting happens, you actually want to know what's going on and pay attention. And it's just, it's hard.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting point, because I wonder if I'm actually going to find it slightly easier to watch the games after we've called it quits on Phoenix City, because I won't have to watch with that same lens. Like the I'm watching knowing I'm going to have to talk about this later. You do engage differently. And for a lot of the time, I enjoyed that. Lately, it's been like, oh my God, this is so hard. I kind of just want to, you know, mostly tune out, just tune back in if something good happens and not have to deal with the fact we're having a bad game or whatever. Mm. But instead I'm like, no, I need to have thoughts about how bad we were or whatever. And instead I might just be able to go, you know what? I'm just going to watch the game and not have to think too much about it.
There's obviously some kind of external stuff there, because we have played much worse football than this. I mean, the Calisic era, we were diabolical, but we didn't seem to care, and we carried on. So there's obviously all this.
It's because every second game you're getting shit-faced at the stadium.
That is quite likely part of it.
And we can get a player to come on and we say, and talk to them. And whilst it might be shit on the field, we can have a bit of bants with them off the field, and there's engagement and there is team buy-in. Whereas right now, and this is, I think, obviously the clubs is feeling this as well, it's not like we can go, hey, can we get a player to come on chat to us on the pod? Because the answer is... No.
When we got Uffy on the pod, just the two of us, and it was like, holy shit, that was pulling teeth.
Yeah.
He wasn't not forthcoming, but because it was just an audio chat, it was just like, oh God, this is
incredibly difficult, right? Whereas when he was here and he came on the pod, and it was much more engaging. You can read reactions. You can see what's going on. It was excellent.
Also, you can see what's going on with Uffy.
Also,
good luck.
Much easier for me to annoy him in person, which I absolutely did in that
did
interview.
I don't remember that. Tell me.
No, when everything I managed to say in that interview was me insulting him, basically.
I don't remember that.
I have memories of that,
Just, being
just
like,
putting your foot in it.
Basically things like, obviously you don't have experience at this level yet, but where do you think that, and so like, I'm just like, oh, do you guys know what, I'm meaning to say, Uffy, but I've obviously worded it terribly. And I did it once and I was like, oh, okay, sure, whatever. Okay. And then I just managed to mangle my next question, and by that point it was all over. He was like, every time I have my mouth, he was expecting me to insult him. I don't know if we said this on the pod, but after that interview he said, I'm just trying to remember exactly what he said to me. He says, I don't hold a grudge, don't worry Patrick, I don't hold a grudge, but I also don't forget. So I was like, okay, well, I'll fuck off to London now, and I will see you never. Bye. In a classic OP way.
I don't remember that in the slightest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we were all there, but...
I remember being in the room.
There's audio evidence if you want to listen back to it,
Cam. It was funny as well, because I think, like... Uffy was kind of half joking, when he said that, but that you knew there was like an undercurrent of, but I mean this.
I mean this.
Like, people remember.
Funny, but.
But when the knife comes.
I mean, it's kind of that weird place that we straddled the whole time, where we were fans first and analysts, journalists, whatever, like secondary, secondary.
Analysts rather than journalists.
But interviewing somebody is more of a journalist thing or a like challenging like that.
Mate, Oldcastle, Newcastle was an analyst thing if ever I heard one.
That was.
And I wish I.
Like, I don't know the way the media is going. That's journalism these days.
Of all the things that I left on my printer, because early days, I forgot the schedules on my printer all the time, and then I just decided to stop printing them. But the thing that I'm most gutted about that I left on the printer was Oldcastle or Newcastle. that was gutted that we couldn't play that game.
That was not good audio.
No, it wouldn't have been good audio even if I had the pictures of the old castles and the new castles for Stevie T. Because
audio
medium for the visual game. But I think that was part of the joke. It was interesting doing some of those interviews. I think he was that was the second time we'd had a head coach on. We didn't get Dario Kalasic, thank God, during that era.
The first time we had a head coach on was Dez, and it was my first time hosting.
I
still feel bad about that interview because not only was I shit as a host, and I freely admit I am shit as a host, but we'd gone out for questions. We'd got a bunch of questions from other people.
Yeah.
And we kind of just divvied them up a bit randomly, and Tracy was doing a guest appearance.
Yeah.
And she asked some questions, and my God, the internet trolls went in on Tracy like, what the fuck are you doing asking about his favorite movie for? Yeah. As if these were Tracy's questions that she had wanted to put to the head coach. Just like, fucking hell.
I'm the one sexism, that asked him if he was single.
Sexism is alive and well that people were like, oh, fucking Tracy. I was asking some fucking dumb questions. I didn't get any grief for it. It was just Tracy. I was like, you guys are fucking dicks.
And, this is why we started vetting the questions.
Absolutely.
The very first question I started that was, are you single?
Yeah.
And no one's mentioned that to me except for Richard Parkin, who afterwards said that was dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dumb.
It was. But that was the point. And it was Dez, and he didn't care.
The thing with Dez is that we had all known him before he was head coach. And so we were all a little bit matey-matey with him.
Remember when he was at Capital Football.
Exactly, And so we were all kind of like, and then he had become head coach or co-head coach. But we kind of just kind of carried that vibe over. And that's why we got Dez, to be fair. That's why he agreed to come on the podcast. And
all the time.
Legitimized our thing,
Other times when he was at New Zealand Football, that's why he agreed to come on.
Yeah, exactly. And so
I found him the easiest interview of all the people we did.
Yeah.
It's because he's incredibly approachable.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly likable, which makes a world of difference.
And it really guts me he's not here.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a different story.
This whole thing could turn into an RIP Dez and New Zealand Football thing. But going back to that fans.
Tell us about Danny Hay.
Going back to that fans and media thing, it was kind of weird. Like, the club treated us slightly differently to other media, for better or for worse. And we had that access to players that people didn't necessarily have. And then there were times where I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know that certain members of the media, hey, Vorman, I know you're listening, were getting pissed off that they weren't getting access to people like Rob, for example. And we got Rob, and it was like, okay, why is this? Why have we got Rob and they haven't? And it's, I think that shows that we were kind of different because we were a link to the fan base to the fans rather than somebody reporting on the club.
That, but I think there was an element of we were more amenable to the club's goals as well.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
We were never looking for a gotcha moment at any point. Like, breaking a bad story on the podcast, we would have viewed as a failure. Like, if we'd done something that hurt the club, you know, that would have been a bad
time.
When
did we do that?
Save the Knicks. So when we were recording.
Oh, we didn't break that news though.
Yeah, but we were recording when the announcement from the squatting on a license thing came out, and we were recording with Vinnie Leah on the pod.
Oh, that's right.
So he was in the pod with us. He was on the pod with us at the time.
Yeah. I was in Australia listening to that, just walking through a shopping mall.
Wow.
And just going, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was one of the most awkward things I think I've ever been involved with. I felt for him because it's like his job and it's his life, and it's all coming crumbling down whilst he's having to be the media persona of Vinnie Leah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but he was also Vinnie Leah. He's the only player at that point that had been at the club since day dot. I think you had Rusty at that point was the only member of staff that had been there the whole time as well, alongside him.
Yeah, I think so.
To have him of all players, not someone who's not Alex Rodriguez, who can easily go and find another club as his first year at the club or anything like that, or not, I don't know, somebody else. Even Jura probably wouldn't have been in the same boat, but Vince Leah of all people.
It was the club. It was the only one left at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I wouldn't call it a low light, but it was certainly one of the most interesting times in this whole.
It was very early days for the podcast as well, where that was our first season. We had just done the 2015 World Cup, and that was our first season doing actual records. And for the Phoenix, that was the first time we were for Phoenix City. And it was kind of like we were three or four games in at that point, and we had to talk about that.
Yeah.
We actually, you wouldn't have been there, Dave, but we all came to your place, Cam. We got the In The Zone guys to come in as well.
Yeah.
And recorded that big episode with like 8 or 9 of us.
Yes.
And I fucked the recording up.
Yes, you did. It was kind of cathartic to do it though.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. It was it's very anti. I don't even remember the guy's name now.
David Gallop.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't remember. He is so inconsequential.
No.
Oh. I was like, my God, that you fucked up a recording with Gallop?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
No, we it was cathartic to have a moan about the guy, basically.
But it's
like it shows how inconsequential he was that I don't now remember his name.
Yeah.
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 I remember his name because I met him once and got to tell him what a dick he was to his face.
Did you?
It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah,
were you wearing Phoenix gear at the time?
Absolutely.
Was it after squatting on a license?
Yeah.
This was at the fan forums during the banning fans and releasing their names to the paper, and they were all over the front of the Sydney Morning Herald and all that kind of stuff. And I got flown over to those meetings with FIFA, and he was in those meetings.
FFA.
FIFA ran the meetings. They mediated the meetings.
FIFA?
Yes, FIFA. FIFA people in the room.
I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah.
I thought it was Fox. I thought it was Mark Bosnichelli.
Fox organized and they had FIFA people at the table to help mediate it.
Interesting.
Yeah. They basically sat there silently while everyone else talked.
Yeah.
But they had appeared there to facilitate something happening. Yeah. And then I got to meet FIFA again when they were doing the... I can't even remember what it was, but it was the engagement stuff around the new split. League structure that was. They were there for that as well. And it was weirdly the same people.
Yeah. Makes sense. They would have been the Sydney-based FIFA people. Yeah. Yeah.
So that night after we'd had the fan thing, and there was more stuff the next day, I think, Gallup took us out for a beer. I went up to him and I had a chat and I said, I just feel like I need to tell you that you're an absolute dick.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, fair enough. A lot of people think that. And we had a beer and it was all fine after that. But it was just one of those things. I'm like, I just need to tell you. Like, it just needs to be said.
The dude worked in rugby league during the Super League.
Everyone hated him there too, you know? It was, yeah.
He's been told by a lot of larger men than you that he's a dick.
Absolutely.
That meeting about the banning stuff, there was a stenographer there, so the whole thing is written down. And I was reading through it afterwards. Your finest moment, that's what I want to talk about. I think your finest moment ever, Dave, is the moment, I think Gallup's talking about flares and things. And it's Damien De Bowen.
Yeah, it is De Bowen.
Disco Dave. It was talking about, everyone's talking about flares and he goes, blah, 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 flares are bad, blah, blah. Look at Wellington Phoenix. We don't have any problems with them. Blah, blah. And you interrupt him and you said, except for our license. Yep. And he went, yeah, okay, yeah, but. And just, I wish I was in the room to hear that audio. I wish I was there for that.
It was fantastic. It was a great moment.
It's great on paper.
Pregnant pause.
Oh, well, yeah, he was still talking. I think because we did, like, we knew Damien had come out here a few times. We've been drinking with him. He mostly was pretty good to the Phoenix. But at this particular moment in time, they were just royally screwing us.
Yeah.
And I think he just didn't realize that was so front of mind for us and a lot of other people. I think he was thinking the happy days where we got on well with him. And so he was kind of like, yeah, see, look, here's a club we work well with. And wasn't expecting me to be like, actually not at the moment, mate.
I mean, the bigger problem, sure, the fan band thing was a problem, but at least all of them had clubs to support, whereas our club was,
Yeah, and it was good. I was really happy when that was in the document. It was good. I think I've got a copy somewhere.
Yeah, I've got it in my emails. I'm glad the stenographer heard you and like, they're very good at their job.
Oh, the whole room heard me. It would have been maybe 20 people in the room, and it was a very... Given the tensions in that room, it was actually pretty well managed and pretty friendly for the most part. No one like yelling over the top of each other or anything, you know, people spoke and if they disagreed or whatever, there was a lot of like shaking their heads and grumbling to themselves, but no one was, you know, talking over each other at all, which I was kind of shocked by. I thought it was going to be a complete shit-slinging match.
Except for you and Disco Dave.
Oh, yeah, well... Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah, what a weird time. Hey, and then we got a club, so that was good.
Yeah, but it all came out all right in the end.
Yeah, it would have been easier if the Phoenix had just folded. We wouldn't have had this problem.
Easier?
No, I disagree.
That's a hell of a hot take.
Yes, we wouldn't have had the problem of COVID, but...
Yeah, well, the Phoenix...
COVID would have still been there, mate. You'd still be missing football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what else can we talk about? What else can we reminisce about? I was going to ask you guys, what was your favorite game What was your favourite like Phoenix footballing moment over the last 6-7 years? There's probably some more lowlights you can think of, but like
the most typical one that comes to mind is when I was travelling back in a car from Martin in the Manawatu, Sass Horfano, wherever the fuck it is, holding a 8-week-old dog in my hand. Cam and a bunch of other mates ringing from the Phoenix game against Mariners going, it's 5-0, you're missing the best game of the world.
That was before the
pod. Then screaming, it's six, yeah. Troy Harefield scores.
that was Gold Coast.
Oh, was it Gold Coast?
It was before the podcast started.
By about 5 years.
Was it?
Yeah, that was 2010.
Because I was standing in the grandstand at the time, and this would have been my 10th season photographing for the Phoenix.
True.
So, yes, it was a long time before.
Well, it's still the Phoenix.
It's still the Phoenix, yeah.
I remember dropping you in it. I remember organising an interview with Michael Boxall around I can't remember, was it the Peru or no, it was a Fiji game, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the Fiji World Cup qualifier.
Bad.
Yeah, and didn't get clearance from New Zealand football.
Again, going back to
the Boxy.
Yeah, this was the early days as well. This is the whole like fans versus media thing. We're like, from New Zealand football's perspective, we're media.
Yeah.
Whereas you were just like organising something with a mate.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I rock up to the Intercontinental
and
Foyer.
I couldn't come on the day either. Oh, my wife was fuming at me because I think I'd been out the three previous days as well. So she's like, no, you're home with the kids.
I was told to go to the Intercontinental Foyer and meet with Boxy.
Yeah.
So I go in there and I'm like, hey, Boxy. And all whites are sitting in the foyer.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And then Anthony Hudson's over at a table and all the coaching staff are there. I can't remember who it was. Darren Baisley was probably involved. And I'm like, hey, Boxy, I'll just sit up. And then we had a chat and it was a good chat. It was 15 minutes or so.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was good. Talked about his time overseas, having left the Phoenix, what he'd done over in the States, coming back to play for the All Whites. It was great. And then afterwards, we were having a brief chat and he's like, I better go. The boss has given me the eyes. And like Hudson was like giving Boxy these eyes, being like, what's going on? And so apparently they're on a, the night before a game was media ban. Nobody has media the night before a game.
Yeah,
that was one of Hudson's things, and so it was like, oh, okay, cool. Sorry, hopefully I haven't put you in it. And so then their media manager, who I didn't get along with at the best of times, came over.
Yeah,
and was like, but hey, what are you doing? I was just like, oh, just doing a thing for our podcast. Yeah, Boxy organised it with one of his mates and I was just told to come on down, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, oh, yeah, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. You have to go through us. And so I was like, okay. So like, we learned the procedure and for future ones, which is fine. But yeah, they were not happy about that.
I'd probably dropped you in that one. I felt bad.
Yeah, well, I didn't give a shit either. I was like perfectly
old
happy to
Wiki
tell.
Old Wiki Hudson.
Yeah, old Wiki Hudson. No, I was
that's
fine
what the
it.
Night before the game was for. It was no media, just Wiki Eden.
Yeah, Wikipedia. They were only laptops in the corner.
Yeah.
On the hotel Wi-Fi, so they go different IP address to New Zealand football headquarters. Yeah, it's a Wellington IP address, not Auckland. So, yeah, I mean that Hudson era was bizarre, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just absolute madness.
Actually, when you think about it, we actually had quite a lot of kind of random stuff, massive events effectively happen on the pod. Things like
huge
the Kalisic-Vidicic breakup.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That was the most bizarre kind of situation which happened. And obviously, we've already covered the squatting on a license thing.
The Vidicic one, I'm only just remembering now, but remember he turned up to the pub call.
Yeah, yep.
Afterwards. To chat to us
and try to explain basically, I'm not in this.
Yeah, he was, it's, you know, between my dad. He just wanted to tell us all he was between a rock and a hard place. And I think we all kind of understood it, but it was just so bizarre to have a player of you know, his level. Like, he's not some nobody in the league or anything.
Come back from Korea or Japan.
He wanted to come down and explain to us how sorry he was and all of that. It was so bizarre. That was very surreal.
The bit about that, though, was he followed your tour, was it Max?
Yeah.
And whilst at Max, Kalisic walked past and he went out and stood and watched him walk past. Now that is random. That is just bizarre.
Oh, but that's Wellington for you.
I totally forgotten that Dario had come to the pub crawl. Because, I mean, the Rado thing where he tried to stage a coup against Dario and the Phoenix got it wrong and backed Dario rather than Rado was weird. But understandable. You're like, if you can't trust your boss and you think that you are right and you give the club an ultimatum that they then go and fuck up because Dario was a
lunatic,
a kazoo here, to then, of course, you're going to try and clear your name and Dario had it tough where even if he wanted to keep playing for the Phoenix, he kind of couldn't at that point because it was his dad. You don't burn those bridges even for football. So, but yeah, I remember him standing at Max now.
Yeah. Was it Dario that told us that his dad and Dario, that Kalasic and his dad hadn't actually met before?
Yeah, that rings a bell as well. Yeah,
that does make sense because Rado was brought in for his A-League knowledge.
Well, no, we were all kind of sold on the idea that they knew each other that he had brought him in, that he was bringing him in as his assistant.
Okay.
And then we learned later, and I think you're right, I think it was in an exchange like that where we discovered they'd never met before at all.
Oh, because that's when Keller just brought in Dario Pott.
Yes.
His actual assistant.
Yes.
Who was that weird
American dude.
American wellness hokey-cokey bullshit thing. That was a weird time. What a weird season that was.
That was just bizarre.
This reminds me as well of something that some of us definitely know about, but we haven't actually done that we should do even post the podcast ending, is we got given a bunch of stuff by friend of the podcast, Rich Parkin.
Oh, yeah.
To support Fever Dreams. Now, obviously, Fever Dreams has been a bit by the wayside lately, but we still have a whole bag of stuff, including Kalasic's coaching jacket.
Do we?
I have that in the room just there. Yeah, and a bunch of other stuff as well, which is quite bizarre.
Maybe we go through that on the Patreon and
don't know what we should do with it. Like I say, Rich gave it to us with the idea that we would over time auction off some of these very obscure items. Like he kept some weird stuff. Like I think there might be a Litfin jersey
Ben Litfin jersey.
Stuff like that that's in there that he was like, I kept really obscure things, but Kalasic's jacket was one of them. Because he's like, you know, these are the things that being the football nerd he is would want. And he was moving away and whatever. And he's like, but these are things other anoraks will want too.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll give this to you guys to auction off for Fever Dreams and keep supporting that. But obviously with us having been overseas the last 2 years and all the other stuff going on, auctioning that for charity has not been a thing we've done. But we should definitely revive that. Dig through the bag and podcast listeners, keep your eyes out for whatever we do with that. I don't know. We'll revive that in some fashion.
We'll chat before we record our little Patreon episode and we'll tell you on the Patreon what we're going to do with it.
Oh, no. Well, I think it's probably a discussion with the wider Fever as well.
I think it's a discussion with the wider Fever
as well. That's our stuff to do what we want with.
In that case, let's divvy it up between us.
Yeah, I'm keeping some of it.
Or send a piece to each of our patrons.
You'll recognize me by my Kalasic jacket.
You get one checkerboard each of,
And some of the gear is not Phoenix specific either. Like I think there's a full set, I believe, of baseball caps for every A-League club.
Oh, yeah.
I think it might even include the Fury, maybe.
That's going to fetch you a high price on the old Aussie trade me.
But, whatever's in there is some pretty interesting stuff. It's very obscure items.
Yeah. I think my favourite game by far was West United last year.
Sticking it to the Snakes, yes.
Well, but just under the – yes, anytime we stick it to the Snakes is great. I mean, if we talk about the actual football at some point in this podcast, we'll talk about – we just did that to them. But coming back after whatever it was, a year away, thinking that this was just the first game we had back and then we'll be back for the full season next year, but having 20,000+ people and absolutely smashing them, hometown boy scoring a first goal and then getting another couple and just the game never being in doubt was awesome. Like, what a night that was.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal night.
I think it's one that all of us will remember for quite a while. But
actually, it's a 5 days because I did pre-game with the Knicks as well for
cool.
a few days. Yep. And, took some time off my day job to do that. It was a several days that I'm going to remember the whole lot because we had the UFEX contract extension announcement came up then as well. They did the community day that they'd usually do pre-season. They did that for a couple of hours as well and got a decent number of kids down there. And, so that there was a whole slew of stuff that they tried to pack in. And over the course of those 5 days really did quite well at building up the interest in the game. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a very good time.
I wish I'd realised at the time how kind of monumental it would be in Phoenix history, given what's happening now and the all the bullshit around it, but also knowing that it was going to be like so special. Yeah. I wish that I kind of talked to some, I wish I recorded more audio with some of those guys, chatting to the players before it and then maybe chatting to some people there on the day and then like the fallout of it afterwards. It would be so cool to have like a little special episode of this podcast, which is just like a little documentary about that day. It would be super nice, but
I got plenty of images from that day because you tagged on with that too.
Well, you can do a little photo album for us.
Those of us who record with you often are very glad you don't record too much extra audio because, man, some of the chats we have before you hit record would be horrendous, and I'm glad there's no evidence of them.
I mean, there is evidence of some of those. We put them out as the outtakes episode.
We did one outtakes episode once, and that was hilarious.
We did two because the first time, when we got to 100 podcasts,
yeah.
Do you remember this? We all turned up at Four Kings and I didn't have the adapter to be able to plug yes. the mixer into my laptop.
Yeah.
And we couldn't record our 100th episode.
That was just so.
So that week we just put out a little bloopers thing and then.
17 minutes of hilarity. It was actually really good.
But it wasn't the 100th episode. I had bought bloody streamers and everything for that episode. And we'll turn it to the pub, order a beer, and we're like, oh, we cannot record. Okay.
How many times did I turn up at the pub and forget the gear? And have to drive home, pick it all up and come back.
There was a few.
It's more than once. Oh, but
it was so fucking annoying.
It's only happened, probably only happened twice or three times, but the fact it happened more than once is concerning.
Think all of us have at least forgotten it once.
Yeah,
I definitely.
Which is at least absolves anyone in particular of blame.
Didn't I drive all the way here?
You drove all the way somewhere.
You drove to Cam's and forgot your microphone and we laughed at you when you sat in the corner.
Oh, yes.
That's right. We recorded a podcast and you sat and watched us.
Yeah. Well, that's because we realised that one person having all the gear. Yeah, because it used to be a big tub. It used to be a massive mixer and all this kind of thing. And it kind of got smaller and smaller over time. But we got to a point where we realized we should always bring our own microphone because then.
If you don't bring it, it's on you.
Before that, though, and this shows the longevity of the podcast, I bought a suitcase.
Yeah.
So that instead of lugging around that stupid tub that was just so bloody annoying, it at least was like a roller suitcase. And it was like you just roll it around. But that suitcase. It's completely buggered. The thing is screwed.
It's destroyed.
And that shows you how long this has been going for, that you had the tub first, then we had a suitcase that we completely wore out, then we went to a new system, everyone takes their own stuff home.
We also wore out a mixing desk. That was our second. Yep.
Well,
in the zone had used that first, though.
Yeah.
We wore out the power adapter for it, and the power adapter was so specific that it was 10 times easier just to buy a whole new mixing desk.
Yeah. Not just easier as well, I think cheaper to buy a new mixing desk than it was to buy the new cable.
A whole new cable, and now we're on all this portable bullshit. Domi was amazed when he saw this little thing because he was used to the whole setup with the laptop and the desk, and now we're portable. We can go for a walk together.
Yeah,
imagine us trying to go walk down the street with four microphones.
I don't have to imagine, Pat. We've done it.
We've done it with two people. That's the day that we forgot that Cam watched some football with us. Yep. We just forgot about Cam entirely.
Yep, yeah, I remember that.
I remember that.
We were standing by the boat sheds down at Oriental Bay when we had
Cam
that realization.
Must have been on, but imagine
because I remember God, that was just one of those. You know, during lockdown, when you really need something positive to happen, and watching us lose 6-1 and talking about it was a positive for me at that time.
What a weird vibe.
Actually, I'm sitting here trying to think of what my favorite games were from the time we've been doing the pod.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's like there's the 4-2 over Adelaide with the save the next game. Yep. There was the 2-0 victory in the sandpit. That was just because it stands out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Over the victory.
Possibly the game we didn't talk about. And then you ended up recording an entire series of podcasts about is possibly one of my highlights.
That
was
so funny because we were kind of halfway through starting that season. We were watching us lose 5-1. And I went, I'm going to go back and listen to the Phoenix City episode. I'm just going to go listen to what we said about the game. And I found the day and I was like, okay, I'll go and get the one that happens after that. And I started listening and there was no talk of the game. There was no mention of it. And I was like, okay, maybe that's going to come later. We're talking about the All Whites or something else, or we started talking about local football and we got to the end and we just never mentioned that game whatsoever. And I was like,
Was that the one we were doing? We did a review of
your headphones.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, you certainly said you were going to. I don't remember if you actually did, but I remember having the discussion about you were going to review headphones.
We're going to review something,
They were good headphones too.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were.
Yeah, Do you remember what headphones they were?
They were actually a Chinese knockoff, but they were really good quality.
What a review.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's brilliant, mate.
They were up there with the expensive set of headphones I've got right now. They cost me $16 New Zealand.
Okay. But after all these games, it's really hard to pick out one.
Yeah,
which would be the absolute highlight.
Yeah,
because there's been quite a lot.
Yeah,
quite a lot. We're going there.
What about moments?
Well, I'll give you some more time to think because I've got two highlights.
Go for it.
Yep.
One's a podcasting highlight.
Yep.
The other's a game. Cool. So the podcasting highlight is that we beat bloody Piney for an award.
We did.
Yeah, that was cool.
And I think there's a small backstory there that I'm proud of and I think is interesting to share.
Yeah.
Because for some reasons that the people who know and other people don't need to fucking know. You didn't want to use any of the episodes that had Brandon on them, right? He left the podcast. We weren't using those. And at the point you were doing the entry for that, there were exactly three qualifying episodes that were my first three episodes. There was no ability to pick our best ones or anything. There were just exactly three, and you had to submit three.
Yep.
And so you submitted them. We bloody beat Piney. So it was my first three podcast appearances.
I thought it was six that we could choose from, but you're right. No, it wasn't very many.
Only downhill from there, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But you know, had to submit exactly those ones because there was no option, right? Unless I'm remembering that wrong.
You're absolutely right. One of them had Shane Harmon on it, which was actually really interesting. And that was the Greensand episode.
That was a really good pod.
Yeah. So it was really interesting talking to him about what happens at the stadium that we don't realize and what goes into a match day and what goes into all those things and what it's like running a stadium. And it was really interesting talking to him after the fact that we just had the game up in Auckland with the green sand and the sand pit. And so talking about how something like that can happen with him was awesome. And so we got to submit that. And one of the things that was pointed out to us in our judging comments was that having the guests on was great. And so,
So definitely podcasting highlight for me was the fact we won that award, but B, it was my first three episodes or whatever it was. Yeah. And we won. It was fantastic. Beating
my
Piney.
My favorite part of that was Tracy's reaction.
Oh, yeah.
We all weren't paying attention to it. We were just kind of like, oh, Piney's got this in the bag.
Yeah.
Sinking in as many free beers as we could.
Annoyingly, I wasn't there. I was stuck with the live stream.
Oh, you're at work, I think.
Yeah, I had something going on. And you could hear Tracy's reaction over the live stream. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still dark about that.
Who?
Piney was never dark about it, but I can guarantee you, the boys will be dark forever about that.
Yeah, they entered three times and they didn't get past Piney once.
No.
Yeah. Whereas we enter for we entered the season before and Piney got it, and then we entered this season and it was the final time they ran it, I think.
Yes.
And
we won the last one.
We won. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. You're sure it had nothing to do with the fact that Piney was collecting six awards that day.
Piney kind of spoiled it for me earlier in the day because he had tweeted that he wasn't going to be there and blah, blah, blah. And I messaged him being like, oh, all the best for the awards. He's like, yeah, I hear there might be a change in the guards this year. So I was like, oh.
How did he already know the bastard?
I don't know. I think he was saying, is it worth me coming down? I'm really busy. Because, of course, he had the Mexican – no, what was it?
Peru.
The Peru game the next day. So he was busy with work and all that kind of thing. So he must have messaged and being like, hey, is it worth me coming down?
Well, he did win like three awards that night.
Oh, did he?
Because he got book.
And journalist and Michael Burgess got journalist. Yeah. But he did win a few. He did win a few that night.
And he more than deserved them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He also, our one as well,
exactly.
To be fair.
He also deserved our one.
But he didn't get it.
He didn't get it.
So that's your podcast highlight. What's the next one?
So my game highlight is annoyingly not a Phoenix game, but the one thing that definitely happened that we – a highlight, low light, I don't even know what, but it's that I was at that New Year's Eve game in Central Coast where the goalposts fell down and there was a kid in the crowd with the gun and all that stuff. And just the being there was such a bizarrely surreal experience.
So what else happened in that game? The fireworks. Because the game got delayed, so the fireworks went off during the game.
Absolutely.
Was it the night with the guy who came on the field with the crutches, or was that a different night?
No, that was like this season.
But there was like six things that happened in this game, and were just there.
Was that the one where they also had part of the stand blocked off for an endangered bird?
That was the thing. Right. The far end of that stand. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a seagull set up camp in there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre. It was just such a weird, weird day.
And that was like one of the highlights of soccer Twitter was just everything that was happening around that game. And you were just there. Like Fox Sports cut away.
The thing was as well, like the game was bizarre enough. But the stuff that happened after the game, because obviously it was New Year's Eve, right? And so so I went out drinking with some of the Mariners supporters after they go to the Leagues Club. That's what it is across the road there.
It's actually a good vibe in there. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and so I went in there and it was fun, but they were all a bit tired and no one really cared about New Year's Eve. And so they all buggered off reasonably early. I think they'd mostly just come being like, this guy's here, we should probably keep him company. And it was nice. They were good value. And then they were like, you know what, we're going to go home. And I was like, well, it's Gosford. There's not a hell of a lot to do. So I had another pint by myself in the Leagues Club and was like, all these people are too young. I think I'll go back to my accommodation. But the place I was staying, the best thing I can liken it to would be the Cambridge Hotel
in
Wellington, right? Yep. So bar downstairs, some rooms upstairs, that kind of vibe. Like, you know, they've done up the pub. It tries to be a bit modern, but mostly it's still a slightly shit pub with some shitty rooms upstairs, right? And I think it was called the Hotel Gosford. And I get back there, and I don't know why on New Year's Eve, but it was karaoke night.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't like the Cambridge vibe where, you know, you do have a young crowd in there sometimes. Yeah. This is the old boys who were there during the day just betting on the Dogs. And the Cambridge has exactly these boys sitting in that corner. Exactly. We all know this sort of people. And these boys are there. It must be maybe a bit after midnight at this point. So it might be maybe one in the morning. These guys are singing karaoke, absolutely shit faced. And I've gone back being like, I'm going to bed. And I walk in the door and I'm like, hell no. I'm getting a pint and I'm sitting in the back of this room. And I just sat there watching these guys butcher classic rock songs for a couple of hours. I was just like, this is unbelievable.
What did you sing?
I have never sung karaoke and I never will. But my God, Dave. I was just like, this is the perfect thing to top off what was such a surreal day of weird stuff. Just watching these guys in Gosford sing classic rock, and half of them, I don't even think they knew the songs. It was just amazing.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal time. Yeah. So that is definitely the most memorable game for me, and it will be for a long, long time.
That's quite cool, mate.
I thought you were going to, because when you said it wasn't a Phoenix game, I thought you were going to talk about a certain All Whites game.
I was going to ask you, was it time that I punched in Auckland when I was in Wellington?
Yep. I mean, that's memorable too. Have we talked about that publicly? I don't know.
No. Well,
if you're going to, now's the time you can.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe we ever talked about it on the pod because you weren't on the pod that week.
No, I was. Like
that. I think as well, because I'd been assaulted at a football game. I think we largely were like, I don't think we need to go into this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now's definitely a time. Yeah. My God, that was just embarrassing.
This is a good time to hear lots of things, because at the time that things happened, we can't really say too much because the people that give us players and things like that were the ones involved. Yeah. Whereas now all the guards have been changed twice over. So there was a game in Auckland. It was a World Cup qualifier. I think it might have been against the Solomon Islands.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was the cycle for the Peru game. And I couldn't go up to Auckland because I had some work down here. So I was at the mixing desk at a choir concert that I was doing, just like following the updates. I was like, oh, cool. And then I saw that there was some drama with the white noise zone. So the white noise zone got moved to a different place in the stadium. People were tweeting about that. I was like, okay, whatever. I'll tell my half of the story because you can tell your part afterwards. And then the next day I get this message from Dale being like, oh, maybe it was a little bit afterwards, because Dale had emailed New Zealand Football and say, here, this is the things that happened. Here's what you think that you guys did wrong and blah, blah, blah. And so I get this message from Dale being like, hey, you weren't at the Auckland game, were you? Like, and I was like, no, I was in Wellington. Like, I wasn't there at all. And then he showed me this message from New Zealand Football, which was that somebody up in Auckland had abused one of the volunteers from New Zealand Football, berated them, whatever. And they were near the white noise zone or something like that. Anyway, nobody knew who this person was, and so New Zealand Football sent Dale this message, being like, "We have thank you for sending us your concerns. We have identified the culprit of this, and it was Patrick Barnes."
Yeah,
and I was just like, "What? No. Firstly, I wasn't there, and secondly." So it was very easy for us to say no. They never apologized or anything for it. And then they. It's like, but if I was there, it would have been very hard for me to say it wasn't me. And so it was completely bizarre. But it turns out that you'd been punched by these people or something.
So what had happened was the white noise zone had as usual screwed it up and it told a bunch of people who wanted to sit down in the fever zone, and people were standing and they didn't have a place to move anyone to. And eventually it was such a shambles, they opened up a space on the other side of the ground and move people around there. And it had been a whole palaver. It was an absolute nightmare. And a few people were a bit shitty about it and got grumpy with people. And there were a few Auckland-based supporters who wanted to stand and got a bit feisty with the other supporters. And a few people had definitely inflamed the situation. But those of us who've dealt with it before largely carried on as usual. We all knew the drill. We worked with security. We got it mostly sorted. But I don't know exactly why, but someone seemed to think I was the person who was causing all their angst rather than one of the people who was trying to sort it out. Because, I mean, I've sorted that out for fever games before.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had to be that person who's worked with security, got it sorted. And I was taking on that role a bit that day as well. And we got it sorted. We got a new zone open. But as we were leaving the ground, someone came up and when we were walking around, we were heading out towards the gates to leave the ground. And some guy comes out of fucking nowhere. He comes up to me screaming in my face, telling me that I made his fiance cry and I was the worst person he'd ever met, and he pushed me And then he just started swinging and he hit me a couple times in the face. Security is standing right there. His dad is also there.
I didn't know that part.
And Boxy and Dale end up in a bit of a scuffle with his mates and his dad. And his dad gets pushed to the ground and they all run off other than the dad who's still on the ground, right? And security come over and they're like, I'm bleeding because he's hit me pretty good because I was like, I don't even know who you are, mate. So I believe the term is king hit by this guy out of fucking nowhere. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, so all of that happens. Security kind of take our statements. By this point, no one has thought to apprehend the guy they watched punch me. They've just let him leave the ground. And his mate and his dad gets up, yells at me and leaves without anyone stopping him. And like the whole thing, I'm like, my God, what were you people doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they eventually take my statement. The cops come over. We report the assault. There's a whole bunch of stuff. The guy who punched me in the face, tall guy, beardy, looks quite a bit like Patrick, but with no glasses, right? The cops have an assault witnessed by security. They've got statements of what the guy looked like from me, from a bunch of other people. And admittedly, he looks a decent amount like you. No glasses, though. And the insane thing about all of this is that New Zealand football obviously had someone, and this was during the game, because I think their incident was like at halftime or something. Someone had gone up and abused a staff member to the point that they felt unsafe and they made some report about this. They don't do anything to find the person during the game. They've got security. Oh, whatever. Who cares? We'll just write today or later. Like, what? And then, rather than comparing that to the police report of I assume, the only assault that took place during the game, like an event like this, they would have a debrief with police.
Absolutely.
They've got witness descriptions of a person. They're like, oh, it was fucking Patrick. That's who it was. It was just like, what are you doing? You absolute Muppets. You were just trying to pin this on someone for the fun of it. It's just unbelievable.
Well, you know full well that Patrick would take his glasses off and be like Superman and completely change shape.
But when Dale pointed this back out to them, they were like, what? There was an assault? It's like, what are you guys doing?
Yep.
Like, just unbelievable. You think that this guy who got abused by someone and an assault by a person, you haven't even looked at what other incidents happened. You haven't looked to see maybe security evicted someone. Maybe security had something else involved in this. But they just hadn't even looked. They were just so ready to blame Patrick for something out of nowhere when he wasn't even in the right city.
It's so funny that I wasn't even there.
It was just unbelievable. So angry because eventually the police couldn't find anyone. It turns out the CCTV at North Harbour Stadium does not see anything anywhere. The only areas it covers are the two areas where they sell alcohol. They have cameras elsewhere. They don't usually turn them on. I was like, this is unbelievable. I hope that's not true for all events they hold there, but certainly in this case they're like, oh no, we don't have any of those cameras on. I'm like, look, there's cameras everywhere. Nah, didn't capture it. They had security guards who saw it happen.
Yeah,
and they had statements from some of us, but no one had stopped the guy from leaving the ground. He buggered off. You're not going to find one random brown-haired bearded man, whatever.
I do love that. It's kind of like you get assaulted and it's kind of like, oh, was it Patrick?
Yeah,
I didn't recognize him.
But just unbelievable, right? And so nothing ever came of that. The cops eventually didn't prosecute anyone, but it was just unbelievable that at the same time as that, they were sending Dale an email being like, Patrick came and assaulted one of our staff members. It was just like, what are you talking about?
And that's where your classic t-shirt came from.
The It Wasn't Me t-shirt.
The next Phoenix home game.
One of my finest moments was the hashtag It Wasn't Me.
Got a good photo of that.
Yeah, do you?
I think it was in the Patrick calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's planning time?
Yes.
I found a bunch of those. We were just cleaning out stuff and I found all those calendars in 2021.
You bought three you were supposed to give to people.
Yeah.
Well, I bought one and never got it.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
From me?
No. Well, I don't know who I bought it from. I paid someone some money.
Surely you paid Cam for the money.
But I never got it.
Do you want it?
Might have done a deal where you added it to your order, but I definitely gave someone some money.
Do you want it? I've got them at home.
There was only ever three actually ordered from me.
And I ordered all
it's
three.
It's very possible that I just placed my order via Pat and he pocketed some money and never gave it to me.
There was a fourth one where I made a special for Vorman.
Yeah.
Which was the photograph I took at, one of the photographs I took of Pat at.
It's in Auckland, I think.
Yeah, QBE Stadium.
Yeah, it's where I'm wearing the polo, our knockoff Fred Perry polo that all the ultras in Australia wear.
Flicking the double bird.
Which is unfortunately since been taken on by white supremacists, the yellow.
Well, admittedly, I think they already had that. They weren't as well known.
They were nowhere near prominent.
Yeah.
But flicking the double bird to
So every single month is Patrick flicking the double bird at Bournemouth.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. To be fair, he specifically requested that. He wanted that.
He asked for a calendar where every month was Patrick flicking him the bird.
Yes. Yeah. And he got it.
Yeah, that was quite
quite funny.
Well, what a gentleman.
Let's be honest, could have got a different photo for that every month too.
No, I've only got about three photos of Patrick.
Patrick would have posed for a catalogue.
Yeah, that is
true. I'll be quite honest. I've seen Patrick flick the bird every month.
Yeah, well, he's flicked the bird. I've got one of them flicking the bird at QBE. I think I've got one of them flicking the bird in Christchurch. So one of the Christchurch games.
But this one in particular, I'm just like beaming with smiles on my face. Yeah, that's why it's so funny. Photo. Yeah.
My favorite one of you is Avocado Jesus.
Avocado Jesus.
Avocado Jesus, my favorite Patrick photo ever.
I still don't understand Avocado Jesus, and I don't think I ever will.
Actually, there was, I got another one of you swallowing a drumstick.
Yeah, that was funny.
In New Plymouth. That was weird as well.
I
was
just the Avocado drunk. Jesus thing is a worst game thing, isn't it? It was to do with you not being able to make guacamole, wasn't it?
So I understand that part. Oh, yes. Okay. No, it was me really liking avocado. And
whatever it was. I'm like, there was something.
Yeah. But then somehow you're
set up in that white suit.
Yeah.
Makes you look like the aforementioned deity.
And I get that. I get that. No, Avocado Jesus is not a thing. Jesus is a thing. I get that I look like Jesus. Somewhat. I'm far too white to be him, but sure. But then I don't know how avocados and that got combined into avocado juice.
Okay, that's fair.
I just don't understand that part at all.
Pretty much Adam Ryan as far as I'm...
Oh, man, that boy. First ever guest on the podcast.
He was.
Episode 2, he told me about sinking buckets of kava in Fiji with all the Windex boys.
That's right.
Because he went over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we went in there in 2015 preseason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
the only feverite that was there that actually tells us about what happened.
I was just like, I want to know who the people are. And I thought he was going to be super... I thought Adam was going to be classic Adam, which is very fun. But he went all serious. He went all serious when he was talking to me. I was like, Adam, tell me the bullshit. Tell me about the carver.
Yeah. Adam, when he wants to, could be very serious.
Oh, yeah. That's why he's had a successful career in what he does. But Adam, when he wants to be Adam, is a fucking fucking menace.
Genius is the word you're looking for.
Sorry.
If you need a nickname generated, Adam.
Adam Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want a fun story, ask him about his Jandal fight at Ballcott Street.
Should we ring him up?
Okay.
No. Anyone on the podcast as well, feel free if you bump into Adam Ryan.
Just chuck that into Slack, tag him, say, Dave wants us to ask you about.
No, I think
you need to ask him in person.
Yeah.
It'll be more surprising for him that way.
Anybody who sees him in person, or tweet him. Tweet him as well. If he just starts getting random tweets.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Tweets either about Jandal fights. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
My favorite.
He knows which Jandal fight it
was. Because there was multiple.
I'm sure there probably was, but this one in particular has some juicy details.
Bringing it back to football, or the podcast at least, my podcast moment was at your place, Cam, and it was when we had Jose and
Stu.
And Stu from Team Wellington on the podcast.
Seaman Padang.
So Smelty had just gone to Indonesia and we were going through, doing Kiwis Overseas.
Yeah.
And we were going through the results and he was playing for, who was he playing for?
I don't remember. Shalong with Jong or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Pussamania.
It was Pussamania.
Versus
Seaman Padang.
So we were joking. We were like losing it at Pussamania because we hadn't really, it was the first week or something of being over there. Yeah. And so we lost it at Pussamania and then you got to who he played and it was Seaman Padang and just all of us trying to stay professional but just like
He genuinely thought you were just stitching him up. Like you were just, it was a joke segment. Yeah. You were reading out games from teams that didn't exist. And he genuinely thought you were stitching him up.
Yeah.
Could you cut that audio in here if you still got it?
Oh, I don't know where it is.
Because that would be fucking hilarious.
We must still have those episodes, surely.
I'll see where they are. I'll see if the archive runs out at a certain point.
I've forgotten about that, mate. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
That was possibly my favorite ever episode we did.
It was just like the episode was going fine until the 50th minute when we did that and we just lost it and we just had to end.
Sounds like the Phoenix in the last 10.
Yeah, sure.
The podcast never came back together after that. Luckily, we were on the home straight.
Yeah.
Because we waste about 20 minutes laughing at that and trying to get through something irrelevant. And I think eventually we just give up.
Yeah.
I just remember when Dura came up to your place and he just walked in the door puffing like a train, going, fuck, it's leg day today. If you haven't seen Cam's place, there's a base camp halfway up.
Let's be honest, it's Wellington. It has stairs.
Yeah, it's up a hill.
Deal.
More than most.
Way more than most.
I'll agree. Yeah, it is above average.
And
but
you are already
at the top of the
hill before you even start on the stairs.
And then looking up from the train station, I can understand it's
And they're not even gentle stairs. No, they're just like, we're vertical. Yeah. Fucking get but with it.
They're not, no, they're not as vertical as Pat's place currently. That's
well, yeah, there's only five
stairs.
Of them.
Yeah, there's only five yeah. stairs, yeah. yeah. But also, your stairs aren't the worst stairs I've ever been on. Like, they're fine. No.
And it's not the most up to a house I've lived
exactly,
at either.
Yeah. yeah. But Jura's reaction to this, he was just absolutely spent by the time he got to the top of it. And we're all like, hey, we're not the professional athletes here. I'm fine. Yeah.
Mate, I'm a fat bastard and I do those multiple times a day.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when we knew it was all downhill for Jura.
That's a good point, actually. We should have seen the signs.
Yeah. Signs were there.
He was our most frequent guest.
He was.
He's been on like six pods.
Almost once a season, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. We had him on multiple times.
Because Dez would have been on at least three times.
Dez was on three times. Domi was on five times.
Oh, yeah. Domi, constant guest.
Greeny we had on three or four times.
Yeah.
We tried to get Stephen Taylor a second time, but it didn't work. We had him once.
Newcastle Old Castle. Yeah. That's why we couldn't get him back again. He didn't want anywhere near that.
Yeah, that's right. Jiro was the one that we had on the most. Definitely the most.
Actually, on Stephen Taylor, I wish I had done it during the pod, but I had heard about the incident with Lee Bowyer and what's his name?
Kieran Dyer.
About how they had fought against each other. And I was just watching because we had Stephen Taylor coming on. I was like looking up Stephen Taylor and it was talked about that game. I was like, okay. And Stephen Taylor got sent off in that game before that incident happened.
That was brilliant too.
And he stopped it with his hand.
He just saves a goal with his hand and like, great, you saved the goal and he got sent off. And then
the dive stops it and then he does one of those Mark Richardson pirouettes as though he's been shot. It was fantastic. Exactly.
Pretends that he slipped over or heard something, or I don't know. And so
he's not a great actor.
I wanted to talk to him about it, but I didn't want to bring it up on the pod in case he didn't want to mention it publicly. But he was so happy to talk about that incident. And I wish I'd done it when we were recording the mics because it was really interesting that he was saying that he thought he was going to get absolutely flamed by the coach in the
Graham Souness. Who's known for his temper.
And it was like, no, he was super happy that he was not on the front page of the paper the next day because it was a bigger incident to talk about. So that's one of my regrets, that I didn't push record and talk about that on the pod because he would have been absolutely fine to talk about it.
And Stevie, like every time I met him in person, was happy to talk about bloody anything. Oh. I mean, there were a couple of times I went out and had a few drinks with him as well at things, and man, that guy had some stories and they were phenomenal. And it would have been great to have managed to capture some of that on a pod at some point.
He was one of the good ones. He was one of the guys. There's been a fair few, but every time doing what I do, every time I asked something of him, nothing was ever too much trouble. He was always happy to help.
That prize giving where we all went up to Dirty Little Secret and him and Terry got talking.
Vince Leah's testimonial was...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And him and Terry got talking.
No, not Vince. It was Jura's testimonial.
Jura's testy.
Yeah.
Jura's testy dinner. Yeah, it was.
Are you sure? No,
it was Vince's.
It was Vince's.
Wasn't there.
Because
Stephen Taylor wasn't here for Vince's testimonial.
The one we went to Dirty Little Secret was definitely Vinny's.
Yeah. Maybe we went to
Mish Mosh for Jura's one.
Maybe there's different stories.
Because I remember going with Tony P and I had bought that signed Socceroos jersey and I hung it on the urinal in Dirty Little Secret.
Tony P was definitely, I'm sure it was
Tony
Jura's.
P was at both of them, to be fair.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah, he was.
But just the look on their faces, like they'd long lost brothers that have finally found each other over a tray of shots. And just looking longingly at each other and the shots. And just that was them. That was at least half the night, just charging, talking.
Well, I remember it's probably one of the weirdest moments I've had in football. But that would have been the Jura's testy was one of the first kind of Phoenix-y things I dragged Mel to. We had only been dating a little while at that point. She'd come to a few games, but
she listened to a lot of episodes of our podcast.
Well, yeah, stalker
had
that she is.
Why?
But she came to that, and that was the first kind of like. Event she'd come to, right? Yeah, and I remember afterwards, after all the proceedings were done, we'd gone to town and we were in Mish Mosh and she's got Terry, Sarah Pisos on one side of her and Stevie T on the other side. She's just trying to buy some drinks. She would have been getting us a couple of beers or something and they're like, I'll buy you a shot. And so she's got Stephen Taylor and Terry buying her tequila shots in Mish Mosh and she's like, who are these people? I'm just like, this is so weird. The fact Terry's out here drinking with us at this point is weird enough.
Yeah.
Stephen Taylor, like the most famous footballer we've ever had play for the Phoenix probably, and they're just buying you tequila shots. I was like, this is so weird. And she was just like, I don't really know who these people are. I'm like, this is bizarre, but keep drinking the free tequila shots. Let's both get shit-faced on their dime.
that's probably what Stevie T loved about here is that he was no longer the, like, he could walk down the street and people would recognize him, but they wouldn't be weird about it. And so the fact that he could be at a bar with and not be just swarmed by people, like, must have been a dream for him. So
doesn't need the VIP section.
Well, exactly. Basically. And especially someone like Mal, who literally put, at that point in time just wouldn't give a shit who he was. Nah. And so,
I mean, free shots are free shots.
Exactly. I mean, be different now with Mal. She'd be, she knows exactly who Stevie T is and exactly know all about his long pins. But
to be fair, she'd probably react the same way.
Oh, exactly.
And just as totally. Most people would. It's like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
What a weird story that is.
I was just like, this is such a weird moment. I'm standing there going, this is just bizarre.
I mean,
but yeah, I'll drink the tequila shots. This is great.
Given you two have told a story about shots, I'll tell a story about shots. Up in Auckland, sliding down shots down to Liam Reddy at the end of the bar, and he was just smashing those back. What a vibe that was.
Oh, that night. So that night, that was night. After the Mariners game at the Eden Park, right?
Yeah.
And Jura, we're in the bar having some drinks, and Jura pulls Liam Reddy aside as I'm talking to Jura and said, this is a guy that got that photo of you in front of the take it easy on your drink, whatever the thing was. And he just looked at me, I thought I was going to get hit. Swear to God. He looked at me and goes, that was class.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because we'd gone out because the Phoenix were there and obviously Liam Reddy had come down because he played with them not so long before.
Yeah.
None of the other Mariners boys there. It was just Liam Reddy. And he was drinking more. He was drinking enough for the whole team. He was drinking more than the Phoenix boys combined. So fair play.
I don't remember that bit. I just remember I was really concerned he was going to hit me because that wasn't a flattering photograph I took of him.
There's only probably one or two players that I would say in the whole history of the A-League that would hit harder than Liam Reddy would.
Yeah. Well,
one of them is Ante Kovac. I would not want to be on the receiving end of a Kovac punch.
Yeah.
The other one's Manny Muscat.
Manny Muscat?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go to Kevin Muscat.
No, Kevin Muscat wouldn't punch you. Kevin Muscat would
bobsled you and break your leg.
Yeah. Kevin Muscat off the field, absolutely fine. Kevin Muscat on the field, very different. But Manny Muscat, Liam Reddy, and a Kovac would just
I want to throw another name in the mix because I've got a good story about
him. Yeah, okay. Go.
Siggy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I reckon Siggy might be in the mix. I don't think we ever would have pissed Siggy off enough. But I remember a game in Auckland where it must have been his 30th birthday because it was a round number, big birthday.
Yep.
And, you know, he had a game the day after or something. So he hadn't been able to have any drinks. And it was an Auckland game and he had flown his family and all his mates up to Auckland. Yep. And I remember him walking into the after match and he was just like, boys, we're going to this corner and we're getting fucking drunk. And he's just like, yep, we're doing it now. It's 2 days later or whatever it was, but now he had the free week ahead of him and he was like, we're getting drunk right now. And he'd flown his mates up. He was having his birthday party in the corner off the after-match function. It was just like, this is so bizarre, but good on you. So he's like, no, I'm not doing anything. This is not. I'm just getting drunk over here. We get into it.
Oh, go on.
Respect Kim. For that. Respect
so
for that.
Much time for that guy, man. He's such a good lad.
Yeah, from that, was it the 2010 World Cup when we were photographing the parade afterwards?
Oh, yeah, he was fucking hammered. Oh, my days. Yeah, we photographed the Christmas parade the day after the World Cup qualifier in 2009.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And we get to the end and Siggy's signing stuff and he hadn't been to bed. He'd been awake the whole night and he was steaming.
Yeah, his missus is coming up to me going, are you sure he's all right? I'm like, no, he's fucked. It's like, how much sleep's he had? And she's like, None.
Yep. He's still good. I got him to sign one of my. I think I got him to sign my Phoenix tie.
Yeah.
At the time, it's not the tidiest signature ever.
No, that's fine.
It certainly doesn't look like an 18 retired as well.
Tidiest, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't he pull you up on the parade float?
No. Oh, no, he didn't.
That would be an amazing story.
Fantastic if he had, but no, he didn't.
Because he did.
So, well,
he
in the parade were they?
He definitely asked.
Yeah, they had a float in the parade.
Yeah, oh, my God.
So if they'd won. If they'd lost, obviously they wouldn't have gone.
But, yeah.
You know, because I went and saw Ricky that day and I had a photo of Ricky. The first time I ever met him was that day.
Because he definitely asked one of us to get up because we were doing
I think it was you, Frosty, you'd remember.
Certainly wasn't me.
No, it might have been Marcy actually, but he asked one of us to get up there and we're just like, we're not even really supposed to be taking photographs here. We're like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that was hilarious.
I just thought of some stuff based on this. I used the photograph segue and talk about the day that we put up a Martin Out banner at David Farrington so it gets on TV.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of you, Dave, sitting on top of the fence with like your face hidden from the camera. I think you've taken it, Cam.
I mean, I think it's reasonably obvious hiding, it's me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was the only one that got an image that day.
Yeah. Martin Out banner. You talking to the T-Dubs, who obviously wanted the sign taken down, so didn't get in trouble. But the council staff member being like, it's outside the ground. Nothing nothing we can do about that. But anyway, there was that. And then there was, I thought of Andy Martin because the night that there was a prize giving and Roy was just about to go off to the Olympics, the one that we got.
I remember this.
That we got disqualified from, the 2016 Olympics. And so I'd had my recorder. I'd been interviewing some of the players. I was talking to Apia, pretending to not have made the video of him on YouTube. And I mentioned it to Michael Box, of all people, that I had made that video all night. And he was like, mate, that video fucking gold. It went around the group chats. So like this video of Quibin Apia just fucking up. It just, I think I was holding out for Hera by Bonnie Tyler, I put it to. And it was just Quibin Apia running the ball out, missing shots, passing the ball to somebody else. Yeah, awful. But I went up to Roy Krishna, who was talking to Andy Martin at the time. And I went up to Roy Krishna. We were heading off, we were leaving, and I went up to him and just Andrew and said, oh, catch you later, Roy. Best of luck at the Olympics. In the middle of all the tension between Andy Martin and him fucking up the Olympic qualifying, all that kind of thing, just not acknowledging Andy Martin at all, but just knowing exactly who was there and exactly what I need to say to Roy to both genuinely say, good luck, Roy, I want you to do really well, and also and mostly to piss off Andy Martin. So that was good times. I enjoyed that one. It was probably one of my finest moments. That was the night that I walked in and the waitress dropped a whole bunch of champagne when I took it off her tray.
No, she didn't.
Oh. Yeah, she did.
No, she didn't.
That was 100% your fault.
That was all on you, buddy.
Nope.
Yep.
No, that was all on
the
you.
The one that I went to pick up, her thumb was on it. And I went to pick it up and her hand went and that was it. It was not my fault that her thumb was on it.
Don't believe that for one second.
Not
that
even
was
a little bit.
Absolutely
you
what happened.
Picked another one when you saw her thumb
I
was on
it. I didn't know her thumb was on it. The first time
you know
I realized
a lot of detail now, apparently, for a bunch of broken stuff on the ground.
This is detail that's been added really recently. Yeah.
That detail was added immediately after the fact.
Yes, you agree you added the detail.
No.
In an agreement.
That's not what I mean. You know what I mean.
Let's go back to the tape.
No.
You did hit record, right? Because it'd be a hell of a episode to have missed.
I was just checking how long we're at. We've been going for an hour 5, so
doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. We got more on us. Is there anything else anybody else wants to talk about?
I mean, we were talking about Siggy.
Sorry, Siggy.
Before we segued back to you, I remembered another Siggy story.
Yeah, hit me with a Siggy story.
There was one year where me and some of my mates, we had been up to the Auckland trip quite a few times. We started naming the tour to Auckland after something that happened the previous year and making t-shirts. And the t-shirts were silly and nothing about the t-shirts is very exciting. But one year, for some reason, and I don't really know why it started, but a bunch of people started signing the t-shirts.
Yep.
And not just like players, but just bloody anyone. And so by the time we got to the aftermatch, we had these t-shirts that people had just drawn a bunch of nonsense on. And you know, they're signed, like I'm sure your signature's on mine somewhere, Kat, and a bunch of other random stuff.
Tall t-shirts, so.
And so there was just a load of stuff on there, right? And I remember Siggy walking in to the aftermatch. He's like, oh boys, I signed it. He grabs a penny disc, draws a big old cock right in the middle.
doesn't
sign it at all, just draws a cock. And I was like, yep, that's Siggy.
Phenomenal. I remember that.
I'm surprised there wasn't one on prior to that, to be fair.
I suspect there probably were. There's certainly a few cocks on them by the time I got mine home. But I just remember Siggy he was just like, oh yeah, can I sign it?
Yeah.
Cock. I was like, yep, that's what I expect from you, Siggy. Fair play.
Nice.
A few cocks on them brings you.
Yes. No, that's not the intro. The intros. The intros came about because we were trying to not be in the zone. We're trying to do something differently. That's why we don't take a break and play music and think something that In the Zone did. But the intros,
is that just because we've got a lazy editor?
Generally, we genuinely decided not to.
Yeah.
We were the very first episode, you said, actually, we should. We're like, no. We'll just keep talking. Just segue straight into the next thing. And it worked out really well.
On the second episode, it was when the eligibility stuff happened. And I was like, I'm going to do a thing and it's going to be something that's happened welcomes you to Phoenix City. Yeah. And that's what it was. It was Declan Wynn welcomes you to Phoenix City. Yeah. Because it's like, hey, welcome to Phoenix City. Welcome in. And then somehow it just became brings you. And that was it from then on, which makes way less sense.
Yeah.
So the intros is just like, we keep fucking up intros, but like the intro was just to fuck up the whole time.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be welcomes you to. It was like, he welcomes you to Phoenix City.
Well, let's start the entire pod again then.
Yeah, let's do all 240 odd again.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. Yeah. That is not happening,
but,
buddy.
But on that, I genuinely hope someone else picks up a podcast
yeah.
for the Phoenix because I will be sad if someone doesn't.
You guys are still doing TW Goat though, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We are, but that's not a Phoenix podcast.
No, I know.
That's just a comedy thing. Quite funny.
You know, In the Zone was fantastic. We kind of ended up carrying the torch for that forward. I hope someone else picks it up from here. I don't know who that'll be or, you know, how long a break there might be between things, but I really hope someone else picks that up and runs with it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I said at the start that this is probably the end because it most likely is, but if the Phoenix come back and we've got a team doing well and it's easier, maybe, I don't know.
I think you can definitively say this is the end of Phoenix City.
Absolutely. But
whether it's the end of the four people in this room being on a podcast about it, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we could do a
TW Goat special where we come on as guests.
Oh, absolutely.
Every season you do TW Goat.
Well, I think we definitely should have you on as guests for that.
Like, can we watch Cats though?
If you want to.
Well, we'll still have one to go.
No.
Fuck you.
It's only 10 PM. We got time tonight. Let's do it.
No, we don't. No, I'm in with the boys.
I think that's the tough thing, right? Because I think we all still enjoy recording a podcast. It's the obligation and the content that this podcast needs.
This is what I love.
That's the hard part.
This is what I love, actually sitting down with mates and chatting football, right?
This is what it was in the early days. This is what it was like in the early days.
That's why all of us were like, we need to record a last episode. Because we were like, okay, we don't need to talk about the game. We don't need to talk about any. We can just... But talk.
This is what the last 2 years hasn't been able to be, which is what makes it a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just when we all finally sat down, before we'd even got the mics out, before it's like we're just talking shit already. And this is like, that felt good.
100%.
And then I was kind of like, are we making the right decision? And then went, yeah, we fucking are.
We are making the right decision.
Do you want to spend an hour talking about last week's game?
Yeah.
You go.
Yeah, yeah.
You do it in the car by yourself.
You can do it on the way. It's going to take you an hour to get home as well, so fuck off.
Oh, fuck is it what? That's the other thing I just did not miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
Like I don't mind trekking out. I was fortunate. It's half an hour for me to get to your place. It's 25 minutes for me to get to your place. 20 minutes to get 15 minutes to get to your place. So that's cool. I'm kind of in the middle. But
what are you doing? It takes me 30 minutes to get to here.
30. Yeah. Jesus Christ, mate. What Hooning. Are you driving
he's
at?
He's motorway all the way.
Hooning down State Highway 2. But yeah, I mean, we kind of worked out the internet records eventually, but they're just not the same.
No, it's not. The vibe is not the same.
I hated the delay. You couldn't get a conversation going.
Exactly. I did love lying on the couch, though. I'll give you that.
Yeah. The output ends up not that much worse in quality for the content, but it's so much harder work to record.
Yeah. So when we physically couldn't get in the same place for lockdown reasons or for whatever other reason this year, it was good. But yeah, it's not the same. And so it's,
Being in the same room. Let's be honest, we've just gone red, effectively.
Mm. Yeah.
And obviously all modelling points towards there's going to be some bad stuff in our very near future.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we couldn't get into another room again like this moving forward for quite some time.
Yeah.
I actually saw a serious TED talk about this sort of stuff. They were talking about video chats and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, we're pretty much four introverts for the most part. And they were saying,
I'm not an introvert, not even a little bit.
You are such an introvert.
I am incredibly extroverted.
And they were saying that it's basically a video chat is actually a performance because you're having to moderate your behavior and like orchestrate this thing. So it's so much energy to put out. And I guess it probably doesn't just apply to introverts, but it's more so for introverts. And you're kind of like, yeah, that's exactly right. It's like I'm shit talking with my mates right now. On video chat, Jesus wept. It's just work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
whereas being in the same room, we're sharing beers, I'm having a kombucha, all that kind of
thing. We're not sharing beers. No. It's a COVID environment. Yeah, there's a pandemic, Pat.
We're not even sharing glasses.
I mean, you brought your own drink in. So.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd just be happy I'm not wearing a mask.
You'll be pleased to know that I've nearly finished this kombucha.
What are you thinking about it? You still think it's rubbish?
Would you
pay money for that?
That's a no.
What about if I tell you about the benefits of probiotics?
I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I will happily drink a glass of sparkling duet, full of sugar, tastes great. Not great for me, but I get the enjoyment out of how it tastes. So the experience of drinking it is great.
I feel like you just managed to review a different beverage instead.
That I like.
This is where we're going down a TW goat tangent here.
Sparkling duet is the most phenomenal drink you can buy with your money.
That is incorrect. But this isn't TW goat.
No.
How do you feel about the old school, the deep spring, the lemon and lime deep spring?
Oh, yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, fair point.
Can you shelve this convo for the next episode of TW goat?
Well, I mean, we're promoing it right now.
Yeah. But yeah, this is fine. I think the initial... The initial shock has worn off and I have started to like it, which I don't like. But here we are. It's raw, vegan, and unpasteurized. Well, we're in a COVID environment.
I'm not going to.
You're not going to.
I kind of want
to. Yeah.
but I don't want to spend money on it because I reckon it'll be a waste.
No, well, absolutely.
Next time you're back at our house, it'll probably be in the fridge again because, yeah.
That same person can will probably be there.
Semi-regularly. No, we buy them and keep them in the fridge when she comes visit.
Ah, fair enough. Yeah.
Not because she asks us to, but just because, you know, it's nice to have, you know, you've got a friend who likes a certain thing. It's nice to have it available when they come around.
Yes.
And they come in a four pack. So she comes around, she has one and we left with the other three in the fridge. And
for the next month. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I get that.
Yes. Is it us?
I guess
that might be us. We don't need to talk about the football. That's the thing. There's an FFA Cup semi-final this weekend and we're just not going to even talk about it. Okay.
I don't want to end on a down note about the football though, because I mean, shit.
It's
the last game we watched was a win.
Yep.
And I actually felt reasonably positive about it. I think part of that was I knew we'd already made this decision, so that helped a bit.
Yep.
But things genuinely in terms of the football, I think, look better too.
Yeah.
And so I hope the rest of the season does go well. I mean, we've all picked that it's not going to be a highly successful season, but I really hope the season can end well enough that we have some momentum going into whatever next year might be.
Now that we've picked it in, we're going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure, of course we are.
Yeah,
and I will go and get drunk at that final and not talk about it on a podcast after.
It's going to be this season and we're not going to be able to go. So
we can go, you just can't get back.
and fair, if I didn't have any responsibilities,
the thing is,
okay.
We're all working from home anyway. Like, we may as well work from Australia.
Well, if that was an option for me, yeah, I'd take it up.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, he has children, just a job.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, if I take off on a plane to another country, I'm not just...
In fairness,
I'm leaving a life.
My sister hasn't met my son yet, so maybe I should pop over to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Get an MIQ spot, man.
Knowing how like the final will be in Perth.
Yeah. I know.
I remember that. Do you remember the last time we made the playoffs, we played away. No, not the last.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it against Victory?
Yes. That game. But during the game, it was a toss-up whether we were going to go to Adelaide or whether we were going to go to Melbourne.
Yeah, I think it was if we won, we would go to Adelaide. If we draw or lost, we would go to Melbourne.
But no, because we had to lose by a certain number of goals.
Oh, okay, something like that.
And the next result had to overturn a goal difference or we went to Adelaide.
Yeah.
And we ended up losing 5-0 to Perth.
That's
which
right.
sent us to Melbourne.
That was Mark Rudan's last game.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Which was brilliant.
Fuck that
because
clown.
I could not afford to get to Adelaide, and I couldn't afford the time off. It would be a leave Friday, come back Monday because of the flights.
You want to Melbourne?
Melbourne. I went for a night.
Yeah.
And apart from having my losing my bag while I was at Sydney Airport and having to rebook connections while I waited for it.
Yeah.
Because it had a lot of shit in it I needed.
Yeah.
It was still one of the best away experiences I've had. So.
Adelaide's a great away trip.
Well, I can imagine it would actually
be. I've never
good.
Done it.
The Adelaide people, or the people I know from Adelaide, are decent folks, right? So it would actually be quite good.
Yeah. And just a nice city. I think people slag it off a bit as being boring, but my God, visiting for a few days is just fantastic.
Anywhere you visit if you like wine. A day or two is.
That's fair.
My favourite away venue is Newcastle. Newcastle, great night out.
Yeah. Well, and that's mostly because of the people, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, but also the vibe of these places. It's like the opposite of Auckland when you go to these places, the opposite of Sydney, even.
I can say Gosford, good trip as well. Yeah. I don't know if you've done Gosford, Gosford and Newey are very, very similar, but Newey just has people we know better.
Exactly. Like,
I obviously know a few people in Gosford, but those Newey guys we've known for a hell of a long time.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. All right, should we call it a night?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, all right.
I was going to say, favourite Peru, everything around the Peru game.
Oh, fair enough. There we go.
Because that was amazing, and that's not even in the Knicks.
Yep.
But that was brilliant.
I'm glad that we waited an hour for you to tell us that since I asked the question.
And
the next day, we beat Perth 5-2.
We did. We turned up late to the game because we had just had...
I didn't.
Oh.
You might have, but I was there in time.
Wasn't that the day that we had...
T-dubs,
yeah. 6-6 against Waitakere United. That was pretty fucking phenomenal.
No, it was. I think it was the same day because
That can't have been the day after Peru.
It was a draw. It was a big draw. It was like a 5-5 draw or something.
Yeah, 6-6 draw.
I was...
6-6 draw.
I'm sure it was that game.
I think it was
really?
That game.
Wow. That must have been a hell of a couple of days.
Oh, no, it can't have been because that would have been... That would have been like February, March.
No, I'm sure it was because you came in and we're like, what are you doing? You're missing a great game. And you were like, what? This is fucking monstrous game.
I think I'm thinking of two different games.
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking about a Newcastle game later that season.
Yeah.
But we came in and we beat them 5-0 as well.
We did. We did beat them 5-0. or 5-1,
yeah,
or something like that. And it was on the same day as the 6-6.
Yeah, I think they're two separate events. We had that game the day after where we smashed them, and then we had another game where we also smashed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The days where the Phoenix would smash a team with 5 goals.
Yeah, I remember
Bring back those days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we also lost by a lot too. So,
yeah, we've had those games.
That was the Kalisic season. That was the Kalisic season. That 5-2 was Kalisic. And the Newcastle win, which was 4-0. I remember it specifically because I remember Hamish Watt. No, it wasn't. It was Guy Finkler. Guy Finkler doing well in that game.
Sure.
That was the 6-6. So Dez was in charge for that one.
There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap up for the night. Let's all go home. It's in Frosty on his 1 hour solo record about the FFA Cup quarterfinal and the game against West United. And
tell us how good Phil Gale Sandoval was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening over the last 7 years. It has been much appreciated. That was the reason that we did any of this. It was so we could get together, mostly because you guys listened and engaged with us, whether it was on the forums or whether it was on Twitter or anything like that. Knowing that at the peak we had about 800 to 1,000 people listening to us every week was pretty cool. So thank you for all your support over the years. We'll still be around. Tweet us on Twitter. We'll be watching the games when they come back to Wellington for sure. And it's been a blast. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a good time.
It has.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride.
Brings you.
All right. Shall we start? We'll just tweet a little thank you to the patrons while you pee.
You can do it if you like. Yeah.
Phoenix City, Ride or Die brings you.
There we go. That's the intro. Bring back in the zone brings you.
I wouldn't listen.
Fair enough. Hello, patrons. Obviously, you probably listened to our full episode by now, but just wanted to record a special thanks to you guys. You would have heard that we're wrapping up for a variety of reasons, mostly because the Phoenix are just overseas and a sporadic speech schedule makes it really hard to get excited and talk about them. We want to say a big thank you to you guys for your both support and listening to us and wanting more content from us, but also the financial support definitely helped us knowing that we weren't having to pay out of our own pocket for things like the microphones and the podcast hosting and all that kind of thing. Obviously, we're going to be wrapping up now, so we won't be producing any more content for you. But we do encourage you to either switch your Patreon subscription over to supporting the Fever. We still have the running costs of keeping the website going and keeping the email and all that thing going, so that when the Phoenix do return to Wellington, we are able to jump back in with TIFOs and all the like that we're used to. So either flick your dosh over to the Fever. You get a little badge on your forum icon if you do that. Or feel free to end your subscription as well. Please don't just keep paying us money, because we won't deserve it. I'd just like to say on behalf of everyone a big thank you again. We have appreciated you guys listening and engaging with us and chucking us a few bucks out of your back pocket as well. So it won't be the end of you guys hearing from us, but it will be at the end of Phoenix City. So thank you much for all the fun over the years. Bye. Thanks, Dave.
Da ho, da ho, da ho, da ta 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 ta. Ross.